Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor Edge of Extinction Episode 9 predictions and power rankings. And today we are joined for the third time, tying her for the most frequent guest with Adam and Bradley by Sunday Birthquest, which that also means, Sunday, that you are the number one female guest that we've had. So there you go.
Oh, next time I want to be introduced as the esteemed.
Esteemed.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm the queen, no, the princess of Survivor Specialists after Alexa the Queen.
I love this.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I like that you tried to take the queen spot from her, though, initially. You know, it was like, oh, maybe I'm the queen. I
mean, you came on this Sunday, you came on this podcast before I did.
Hey, that is true. So technically
who's actually the queen.
Totally could work. But Sunday's got her work cut out for her today, because she, not only does she have to do power ranking, she has to do it for a double boot episode. Her buddy David's still in the game, so she has to give us good insight into what Dave is doing. And the Amazing Race premieres Wednesday, in which Chris and Brett are going to be running around the world doing their thing. So we'll get to hear Sunday's take on how that's going to go. So she's got a lot going on here. This is the perfect week to have Sunday on the podcast.
Exactly. And it's a Sunday, which makes it even better.
It's exactly. Perfect.
Exactly. But Sunday, the first thing I guess we always like to ask everybody is, what are you thinking of this season? And what do you think of Edge of Extinction?
Okay. Players aside, don't love the season. That's not a commentary on the players. I just don't love the idea of Edge of Extinction never ending. I don't like the idea of it going through the whole season. Now it's just predictable. Who in the world would leave the game? I mean, well, except Keith and Wendy. But for the most part, who's going to leave the game? So there's no, I have a choice to make. Everybody knows now. I feel like whoever ends up at Edge of Extinction the longest and then gets back in the game has the best shot of getting all those votes, because of all they're doing is building relationship, you know, at the edge. I just don't love it. That's not a commentary on the players. I just don't love it. I do not like that they put an idol in Rick's bag. So now we don't even have to find the idol. I mean, like, that's, I don't like it.
He got a half idol. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was dumb.
I've been trying to defend the half idol is that the only reason it actually worked with Rick is because he was so close with David. Anybody else who came back into the game did not have anybody they were close enough that was going to be willing to give them half the idol, or that Rick, or that whoever came back in would have been willing to give half of their idol. You know, like, there were, like, we saw Rick and David use this idol together. There was no other pairing that would have worked with, because they had been voted out by their entire tribe. And so it was almost like lucky and unlucky for production. And then at the same time, David plays it last week and it really doesn't impact the game at all. If anything, it just makes David a little bit more of a target, because they see him and Rick are still working together. But it didn't have much of an impact. So I'm like, okay with how it played out, but it could have been horrible.
Yeah. And now he doesn't have an idol and they know it, unless they find, you know, he finds one right away again, which he's been known to do. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part was Rick talking about the idol and saying, yeah, I might have to ask for that back. And I was like,
David's like, no.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, right.
And he delivered that so
that was hilarious.
And David was I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang on to it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Rick has to try everything he can, right? I mean, hey, when he says that, it doesn't work. And then when he brings up the Julia thing at Tribal, it works. So, hey, you know, you just keep on trying. I kind of agree. And I think that's been like the common, I can't even think of the word, but what people have been saying for pretty much this whole season, everybody we have on is, the fact that it's still going on, we just know that nobody's going to quit now. So, so if we know that nobody's going to quit and that they're just going to keep going to Edge of Extinction, are we going to be satisfied when somebody comes back, or are we going to be annoyed that now they have like a 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 shot? I'm assuming they come back at Final 6, but is that just going to be too close to the end where every single person on the jury is their friend, because they never had a vote for any of them now and they've gotten to just hang out?
And does this person come back with something similar to what Rick had? Because then I think the last time you can play an idol or an advantage is Final 5. If they're coming in at Final 6, then that's, it's like kind of guaranteeing them all the way over there.
Yeah. I don't like, and people I'm talking to, like fans and stuff, everyone asks me and they all tell me, I don't like this season at all. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess they have to try different stuff, but, and you know what, honestly, as a player, if I was Reem, and she is just awesome TV, I would be so pissed, like, that I had to just be on the island, not really playing. And then not only that, I got voted out, but I don't even get to go on a cool trip.
Yeah, that's true. You don't get to go on the trip.
But nobody wants to be on the trip. But I'm just saying, if you're going to get voted out that early, what? How was your Survivor experience? I was on an island doing nothing for, I just think it would suck.
But meanwhile, cut to Keith and Wendy. To Keith and Wendy hanging out, having the time of their lives, just like drinking and partying right now.
I'm so confused why there was so much screen time dedicated to the chickens. And I think Wendy's awesome, but to someone that quit, I don't understand that.
I agree.
By their quit directly after, like, mm-hmm. how emotional everybody was when they realized that they didn't have to go home. That was so surprising. It was such a 180.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say for Reem, and I think this is what Reem's trying to do, because based on her personality, I think, like, you can kind of get what Reem's, like, whole mentality is. But I think Reem wants to be the woman who, I got there on day 3 and I lasted there till day 36. And I think, like, that's why she won't quit. And even though she's, realistically, she's not going to beat Chris. She's not going to beat Joe. I mean, at least, or she's not going to beat Aubrey. One of them is going to beat her. She is definitely the underdog going into that.
Right.
But for her to sit there at the finale and say, Jeff, I sat there for 33 days.
Yes.
What more of, like, a pitch do you need to make as a first boot to be asked back to play again, or just to really be iconic, because you lasted the longest anybody's could last on Extinction Island?
Absolutely. And that'll be, you know, that's I give it to her for that, for sure. I would be the same way. I would never quit. And you never know. Can you imagine the story that would be if she somehow won that challenge and got back in the game? She'd win. She could. After surviving all that and then getting in there, yeah,
I agree. And I think I'm enjoying this season. I think the reason I'm enjoying it is, if you remove Extinction Island and you're just looking at the gameplay that's going on, I think there's been some really, like, most of these tribal councils have been really fun. And I've been confused or not expecting votes numerous times, especially last week. That tribal council was a really crazy tribal council. Where Julia, I saw some things where, like, Julia was probably the safest person going into that tribal. And then she gets 9 votes and ends up going home. So for that aspect, I've been having a really good time. It's been fun to watch the Less Who 5 kind of take down this comma group, but also see the commas, like, now trying to figure out, how can we get this back together, because we are done now. I think that there's interesting characters here. I think there's interesting characters here. We haven't seen maybe a lot of all of them, but it is double boot week. And sometimes that means somebody like Aurora goes home, who really was quiet until last week when she was just tired of the soccer moms.
There was a pretty funny photo circulating around, like, a couple weeks ago, or probably like a month or so ago. Aurora posted a photo of herself wearing a shirt that says "I Heart Soccer Moms," which is really cute photo. Yeah. And then when she says "I Hate Soccer Moms," I was like, she totally bought this just for that.
Yeah, she did. I love that.
I do think that out of every cast, this is the one that is trolling the internet the most. They have pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. Nobody knows what's happening. They're doing little things like that. They're doing a great job with that. I mean, you have Mr. War Dog, who literally, like, I don't know if anybody has a real read on this guy, because I don't think anything he posts on the internet is real.
I don't think he knows what he's posting on the internet.
The last question before we get into the power ranking Sunday: who do you think gets back from Edge of Extinction? And it could be somebody who's still in the game that you think is going to go there, but who do you think is actually going to get back at the end of the day?
You know, conventional wisdom would say Joe, because he's so good at challenges. I might give it to Aubrey, because she is good at challenges regardless. And then you throw in the fact that she's the only one practicing for the challenge, and she's smart. She is smart. I'm going to have to go Aubrey.
She's got a while to practice for that challenge too. She got that
two days ago, I guess, in her time.
So she's got a while to get
she's
used to that.
Good at them anyways. I mean, she genuinely does good at challenges. So, I don't know. I mean, I hate for it to be predictable.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking from like what we've seen of each person, I'm not getting a Joe feeling that Joe's coming back after last week with what they were doing with Eric, where he had that whole speech about, I really want to raise the mask, but I got to convince my kids I'm not a quitter. And that was, we heard that so many times from so many people, but this was like 2 or 3 minutes of it. And it was really, really long. I started sitting there going, okay, so now does Eric's story start now so that he can just be the person who comes back from Edge of Extinction? Like, because up until then, what did we really know about Eric other than a chicken was, you know, right near him while he was getting confessional?
Yeah. And Chris's, when he got there, was pretty powerful too. Talked about, you know, learning his lesson, kind of speak about losing. And that was, I thought they did a really good job with capturing how people were feeling.
Eric's confessional was like 20% of the episode that wasn't yet at Tribal Council. One of the three things I remember from that episode.
All right. Well, let's do some power rankings. Then we're going to eventually ask Sunday who she thinks winning this season. But I mean, I don't know if she's playing favorites or not, so I can't, you know.
Yeah, I got to be objective about these things.
All right. Well, no surprise. I'll just start with mine because it's always not surprising, because I think I've done this almost every week. But I go Lauren Wentworth 1-2. Our idol girls, they made the best faces out of anybody at Tribal Council last week. Their faces were epic. The one of Kelly turning her head with like her mouth wide open is like the funniest image ever. I that should be all the memes. But I can't see either of them going. What's crazy to me is they've been on the bottom so many times and yet still haven't had to play their idols because they still have close enough relationships with these other people that maybe we haven't seen so much of, but they do have them because they felt confident enough and whatever they're hearing through the grapevine here has been good enough for them to not have to play an idol. So they have two idols. They have War Dog. Right now they could have Rick and David. They could be in the majority or at least have a split going into this week, which is crazy for people who were – the last four, like two of the last four people against what, 9 or 8 a ridiculous amount. So Lauren 1, Wentworth 2 for me.
That's your power rankings?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So wait, when you say that, just so I don't say the wrong person, you're saying just for staying in next week or for winning the game?
For staying in next week.
Next week. So Lauren, filming that Lauren is the safest next week, as do I.
Oh, you need to go next, Alexa, because I need to.
All right. Well, I'm really going to change things up. I have Lauren 1 and Kelly at number 2.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of piggyback off of what Phil said, it's like super predictable that we always do this. But what we said in our 20-minute recap last week was that we have no idea where anybody stands now except for Lauren and Kelly. And I only have Lauren above Kelly because Lauren's name has yet to come up ever, which is amazing. And Kelly was the target last week. It was going to be Kelly. And obviously she's beyond smart enough to know that she should have played an idol because she was clearly super sketched out, but her name is still floating around a little bit, but she and Lauren are just, they have such a stronghold on this. I don't know how they, like how it worked out, but it's going so well for them. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And Sunday, you could do like who you think is going to win. I think Carl literally just like threw darts and somehow had Rick Devins going home in a week where nobody else had Rick Devins going home. So, I mean, it could go either way, but.
Nope. I wrote down who I think is safe. My 1 and 2, I think are safe this coming week. I put Aurora and Victoria.
Wow. Aurora.
I'm just going to go a different direction here. Yes. Because first of all, they threw out her name the other night, which was dumb because it reminded me of another tribal I was at. there was no point to send out Aurora. I don't think there still will be a point to send out Aurora. She's, from what they're showing us, she is a vote that everybody wants. So to use her as a vote to send out when there's bigger threats in the game, I don't think is worth it. Victoria, I think, has laid low enough, and her name hasn't ever, that I remember, been brought up as sending out as a vote. Mm-hmm. And I think other people will get caught in the crosshairs before Victoria does.
I'm with you on Victoria. I have Victoria at number three. And she, even at that crazy hot mess of a tribal, she, her name only came up because Ron Clark was like joking at her, which was another hilarious thing that came out of that. Yeah. But she... Yeah. He was like, what about Victoria? And she was like, whoa, 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 no. And just
that was so
immediately
funny.
Shut that down, which was hilarious and like just the right reaction. Like she didn't take it. She wasn't like, what, why? She just absolutely shut it down. And then everyone moved on. So she's
done. David did the same thing to me at the Rocks Tribal. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're going back and forth about it. And I hear him say to Adam and Hannah next to me, vote for Sunday. And I turn around and I go, did you just say my name? He's like, no. And I go, yes, you did. And he goes, okay, I did. And I was like, that's dumb, David. And he goes, yeah, you're right.
I would love to see that.
Oh, it's great.
That's so how does that not make the cut?
That like, is so funny. Because that sounds kind of like what David and Kelly did, where he was like, hey, I was going to vote for you. And Kelly was like, I was going to vote for you too. But we're, you know, we're all buddies here.
Yeah.
You were just saying too, Sunday, that Aurora's name hasn't, you know, like their names haven't come up yet. Or Victoria's name hasn't come up yet. But I was just looking. 6 people out of the 10 left have not received a vote yet.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Victoria, Gavin, Wardog, David? Aurora voted for David.
It's Victoria, Wardog, Ron, Julie, Gavin, and Aurora.
Wow.
So all of them have no votes. And like, still, I think one of the people with no votes has a good chance of going home, maybe even 2 of them. But it is, when you're this far into the game, for 6 people to not have a vote, that's a lot of people. And the one that's the most surprising, I think, is Wardog, because he's gone to so many tribal councils.
Yeah.
Totally.
All but one?
All but one, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I agree with Alexa, though. I have Victoria higher up, but Aurora, I feel like, could be in danger this week. Almost specifically because it's a double boot. And we've seen how that goes in the past. And that's one of the main reasons I think she could be in trouble. But if you're looking at it from a game perspective, Aurora has no pull anywhere. So why would you get rid of her this week when you get rid of somebody who could actually win, like Gavin, Julie, Ron, or Victoria? Like if you're the last 2-5, you have to be trying to get rid of one of the people from the comma 5 who could win, not Aurora, because Aurora could be just your person who you vote out at 6 because she doesn't have any other play.
Or that you don't vote out ever.
That's true too.
I'm changing my power rankings right now. Yeah, right. Because this Aurora thing is that's Sunday. You bring up a really good point that, like, I'll get to her. I guess I'll talk more when I actually get to her. But she has no pull, like Phil said. But there are so, like, the alliances are so fractured that you need a head. You need one vote, and that could be her.
Yeah. She's a hot ticket.
Yeah,
she is. She definitely
is.
Well, my number 3, I have Wardog, and the reason I have him so high, despite the fact that he doesn't have an idol, doesn't have anything special, is because I don't think that people, I think he has good relationships with everybody out there. And I think the Wardog that we see outside of Survivor and the Wardog that's in Survivor are 2 different people. So I think that Wardog right now has good relationships with a lot of people. Even after that tribal council ended, he's leaning over to Ron and Julie going, we'll talk. We'll all talk after. Like, and I think he had a big say in who was going home. Like, let's get rid of Julia, at the last tribal. I think that Wentworth and Lauren will never turn on him. Now, if it comes down to, it's either Wentworth or Lauren or Wardog, they'll definitely vote him out. But I don't think they would just turn on him. Like, they're trying to hint, like, oh, you know, sometimes like a leader has to go down this week. I don't believe that it would be Wardog, because they've worked so hard to get the numbers back. Granted, they didn't see David versus Goliath, but look what happened in David versus Goliath last season, where David worked so hard to get the numbers back and then end up voting out Carl. And then they just fall like dominoes until Nick wins. But Nick had to get there and his back was against the wall the entire game. So I think this week, at least in this first boot, it's going to be a comma. And therefore, if the next boot's going to be Alesu, they would go after somebody like Rick or David, who's not really in with Wentworth and Lauren the way that Wardog is.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have Wardog in my third spot also.
Okay.
I see him as, how do I describe it? Like the bad boy that you just, you want to hate him, but you just like him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like girls in high school, they're like, oh, he's so bad. I like him.
and your mom like hates it.
Yeah, like your mom's like mad and you're like, oh, he seems like maybe he wants to come off a little abrasive and kind of like that alpha male. But I do think that he has a good social side. And obviously he's talking to people and they're listening to him. I mean, he's shifted that entire boat last week with all those conversations. And if he was so aggressive and came off so horrible, no one would have listened to him. Mm-hmm. So he's doing something right.
Yeah. And I think one of the big comparisons before the season started, mainly because they look the same, was him and Joe Mena. And I loved Joe Mena. I thought he was great TV. I think he could have been a really good Survivor player if his back wasn't against the wall most of the game. But yeah, with Wardog, like Joe, nobody listened to because he was abrasive. Mm-hmm. And he made enemies out there. Wardog isn't as abrasive. And we heard David say it last week where he said, I can work with him for one vote. Well, yeah. That's showing that they might have differences in opinion and they might not like each other, but they don't hate each other so much that it's like, no, never working with you at all. Can't even stand talking to you.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot about both of them as players. But, you know, Wardog aligned with Wentworth and David, or at least was somewhat aligned with them early on, which was smart because he's taking people who've played the game before and know that you sometimes have to work with people you don't like to get further. And that's probably helped Wardog stay in the game as long as he has.
Well, yeah, and that is, I mean, we'll get to that, but that's David's MO. I'll work with you for one vote. And the thing that Wardog has done right is he's shifted and kept these relationships open, unlike Rick, who was like, I'm never voting with you. And Wardog was 100% right. He's like, dude, you're being emotional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rick, I love Rick, but he didn't want to hear it. But Wardog was right.
Yeah, he was. And Rick was being emotional. He was being so
totally.
It was way too much. And especially like, I get where it's coming from. Cause like, I never.
Oh, I get it too.
Yeah. And
I get it too.
If you're voted out of Survivor and then you get a chance to come back in, are you going to trust people who voted you out?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So I get it. But yeah, it was one
of
those.
But you don't have to trust them. You just have to tell them you trust them.
Yes, that's it. And instead, Rick was very sarcastic. Grade A sarcasm, but not necessarily going to win the game.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to go?
Speaking of Rick, Rick is my number four. Which
did you give your number three, Alexa?
Yes, my number three is Victoria. Yeah, which is a little odd because Rick had a really rough episode two episodes ago, and then he actually won the MVP of last week. Like he completely started that entire chain of events that led to Julia going home. Yeah, and he did that pretty seamless might be the wrong word because of how like broken that tribal was, but it didn't look like that was his doing. And he probably didn't intend for it to go as far as it did or to be as crazy as it did. But I think he got his groove back. I think that idol being gone is actually going to be really good for him. I think he and David have moved past it. They ended up playing it together. And even though it didn't mean anything, he still played it for David. He kind of like took whatever like kind of emotional craziness that was going on and channeled that. And now he's back with David. So I actually think Rick's fine. And that Lesu group needs to stay together. As we were just talking about, they've come this far. They can't break up now. They already are clearly very fractured and clearly sick of each other, but it doesn't make sense for Rick to be the one to go home right now. And he has a relationship with, I think it's Julie. I remember at the merge, Julie was like really working him. And I don't know how much they've talked since, but he does have some tie to that comma group because he did vote with them.
Julie was protecting him. You know, she was the one who said, we can't send him right back. That would be rude. That would be mean. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I think Rick did a good job last week of finding the weakest point. He found Julie, who already had kind of a relationship with him, and said, if you don't trust them so much, let's vote out one of these three because these three are looking good. And it worked because he pinpointed who the most likely to flip was. And then Ron's literally like crying at Tribal and it's just a chaotic mess. But Rick did a great job of making that happen. And that's why he was MVP. So like, yeah, I mean, it's the ups and downs of Survivor, right? Like Rick goes from one week being terrible to putting it back together and saying like, let's think, guys, like, but using the emotion he probably felt when he was talking to War Dog against Julie, because Julie was feeling that emotion. I mean, Julie sitting on David's lap is still like one of my favorite things that happened last week. It was just amazing.
I loved it.
My number four is Victoria, which you both already said. I keep fluctuating with her between three and four. Like she's just somewhere around there all the time. I think that she still has a chance to win the game. I was very confident she was going to win much earlier, but I think she still can because there's no real big winners edit happening right here. And I think her reactions to everything last week, like Ron saying her name and her being right there, she was on the outside of that circle. So she wasn't included, but she made sure like, this is the only place where I could get voted out. I don't need to worry about those other three. So I'll stand here and I'll do what I have to do. And then on top of that, everybody voted for Julia, except for Aurora and except for Julia. And when Aurora voted for David, Wentworth had that reaction of who voted for David. Victoria was smart enough to vote with the majority and made sure to be included in that so that nobody knows really where she stands at this point, because she made sure to get through that vote and not put any type of extra attention on herself like Aurora might have done. So I'm really liking the game she's playing. I know a lot of people are like, well, how can she win? She hasn't done all that much. She hasn't had to do all that much. And that's why she's been playing. That's why it's a really good under the radar game. Her and Lauren are playing really good under the radar games. Lauren's just been to seven tribal councils and Victoria's been to three, the only one since the merge and then the Aubrey one. So I like the game she's playing. And I think that she's totally fine going into a double boot here.
I agree. I put Gavin in the four spot. Just because I don't think anyone is yet thinking, oh, he's a big threat. We need to be worried about him. I feel like he's safe with Victoria. And, you know, he made those bonds with Kelly and Lauren, and we'll see what happens from there. That sixth ride or die that's already not a ride or die. But I kind of see Gavin as the Will of this season a little bit, especially with going into that vote and be like, I need to make a move for myself business. You know, but I think he's safe this week.
But when did Will go home Sunday?
Well, Will went home seventh. We're not to seven yet.
But in the double boot episode.
I know, but this is seven. This is nine and ten.
I hear you.
Don't remind me about that stupid double boot episode. So.
It never happened. We don't know what.
Hang up this camera on you right now.
Yeah, so. Goodbye.
It's been great, everybody.
I do think he's the younger guy and he's wanting to puff up and make a, you know, a statement for himself. Mm-hmm. I think it'll end up biting him in the butt. But for this week, I think he's okay.
Yeah, I have Gavin much lower because I think he might have put a target on his back last week by winning. And also by really when everybody started to kind of flip. And I thought what was really interesting about the setup at Tribal Council is you had 11 people there. And you had all the Lesus and Ron and Julie together. And then you had Gavin, Julia, and Aurora on one side. And Victoria was in the middle of all of that. And so it was kind of easy to point and say those three over there, meaning Gavin, Julia, and Aurora. Well, Julia's gone and Gavin just won immunity and he could look like a real immunity threat. And he started getting a little mad last week because, like, I thought I had a vote here. I thought I had a say. What if they decide, well, Gavin's the young guy. Everybody likes him. He's a good challenge player, he could win this game. We need to get rid of him now. That's the only thing I worry, because I don't think he was on anybody's radar until last week. And the week before, he blindsides his closest ally in the game, which started setting off alarms in Ron and Julie's head. So I think Gavin has definitely made himself more of a target in recent weeks than he would have been had he just kind of stuck with the plan and not tried to build a resume.
That's true, but I also think that Lauren and Kelly can totally use him as a, you know, use them as a vote, string him along a little bit, and keep him safe for their numbers. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, my five is Rick. So Alexa just talked about Rick. I think Rick's in a good spot here. What's funny about Rick is he goes from being on Extinction Island, being possibly voted out right away. And now I think Rick could cruise for a couple weeks now because he's no longer the biggest threat to win this game. I don't think that people are really looking at Rick as the number one person on Lesu to get rid of. And I don't think Lesu is looking at him as the number one person to get rid of over there. I think he's positioned himself well in the middle and has enough somewhat allies that they're going to want to use Rick's vote. So I think he's safe going through this week.
Not where I have him.
Sounds like a no.
What do you have next, Alexa?
I have Mr. War Dog at number five. Okay. I think he's in a pretty good spot. We've already spoken about him pretty extensively. Yeah. Okay. The only thing that I didn't bring this up last week because I completely forgot, but he and Kelly had probably the best secret scene to date 2 weeks ago when the two of them are sitting where War Dog was like convincing Julia to flip. And they're talking about how they eventually need to flip on Lauren. And so that already shows that three might not be as clear cut as we imagine. But Lauren comes over and is like, what are you guys talking about? And the two, Kelly and War Dog, just brain fart and they cannot even come up with any kind of excuse. They were like, I'll send it to you guys after. It is, they were shaken. They had, and Lauren was like, well, I'm going to go. You guys keep doing what you're doing. And then War Dog, he ends it and he says, we need a code word because that keeps happening. How about mustard? He said, how about mustard? And then,
oh my gosh, I love it.
So it was incredibly awkward and really funny, but clearly like they're all conspiring against each other. And the three of them, I think, are just really playing this game well because Lauren clearly has not taken that personally enough to want to try to get rid of Kelly. So that group of three is really tight. And I think War Dog is just as ingrained as the other two are.
And War Dog's been trying to get rid of Lauren since like
for a while.
10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's always felt like Lauren and Kelly would be closer. And I think that this could be War Dog's undoing, is that he never did get to get rid of Lauren because he feels like Lauren and Wentworth are closer than he and Wentworth are. And that's what he's worried about. Like, he wants him and Wentworth to be the only pair. So I think he does have to get rid of Lauren sooner rather than later. Otherwise, he's going to be in like a final five, final six situation where they flip on him because they don't want to go to Rocks, or they just need one person to get rid of War Dog. And then the two of them can confirm that they're going to the final four, probably final three. So I think War Dog's got to get rid of Lauren quickly. But it's going to be hard.
Three only works for so long.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah. So yeah, I'll attest to that. the next spot I have is Julie. I guess I have her. What's that? One, two. I have her in fifth. So in the fifth spot, I don't see anyone going after Julie. I see Julie as someone they'll keep for votes, and you know, she wears her heart on her sleeve. So they all are going to know where she's at, and knowing where a person's going to vote all the time for the most part and reading them emotionally is security. If you think you can pinpoint where they're going to vote and you can tell by how they act.
Yeah. And I have Julie at six because I think honestly her little breakdown last week might be the best thing for her because when you're looking for threats and who are we most worried about winning or really like, you know, having like the killer instinct to blindside me, I don't think you're looking at Julie right now. So nope. I think that Julie is somebody who will vote with you because she was desperate last week and she voted with you. She jumped ship literally.
Wants love right now.
And so I think that this week is a week where Julie might be a passenger and then she might try to be a pilot after, you know, so while we're on that analogy. So that's why I think Julie at six, she's the safest out of the Ron, Aurora, Gavin, those three, or like that group. I think that Julie is the one where it's like she was never leading the group like Ron was, and she's not as threatening as Gavin, and then she's not as like aloof as Aurora. So I think that you know, middle of the pack for Julie.
Yeah, she's predictable as far as how they're seeing her play. You don't want an unpredictable person around because you don't know what they're going to do. So predictable is safe.
Yeah, and people might think that last week she was unpredictable because of how she flipped flipped out, but she wasn't being unpredictable. Sure. She was just ready. She'd been ready to flip on the commas since they flipped on her, which only was a day. But, you know, that all took place in like 24 hours. The Eric boot to Julie losing it to Julie having to then vote out Julia. That all took place in 24 hours, which is a really short time. She had no time to really let it settle.
Yep.
And so I think that it's not her being unpredictable. It's her just, you know, knowing that she doesn't want to work with the people who blindsided her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can guarantee you they saw other parts of her at other times. That's probably not the only emotion they've seen from her. We just haven't probably been able to see all of it. Mm-hmm. So. Who's next?
Oh, Alexa, who's your, sorry. I thought it cut out because I heard like a little robot-y stuff. So I just assume that's my internet being bad. Alexa, who's your number six?
So my number six is the one that I was moving around with all this Aurora conversation. And I didn't really come to a conclusion with myself. I am going to put David at number six, which could be high. Now, can I not do that anymore? Can I pull that back? Can I put Gavin at six?
Yeah, go ahead. Put Gavin at six.
Okay, I'm putting Gavin at six. I am everyone for the rest of this group, I am very convinced could go home. Gavin, I think you guys made a good point. He's because his whole thing was like, oh, we got to get rid of David because David's good in challenges. He's like, David is finishing the top four. Sunday, you're shaking your head. So David is finishing the top four of like every single challenge, which is a really like astute observation that he said that. But I think because Gavin is the challenge guy now, he needs to make it seem like someone else is good at challenges.
Yeah.
And also, Phil, you brought up that he was like, well, I didn't get a say in this vote, which definitely ticked him off because and now he doesn't have his best friend, which that vote is now starting to look like it happened a little too early for him because now he doesn't really have the pull that he used to. So even though Eric was tight with Ron, at least Eric was Gavin's in. Gavin doesn't really have an in anymore because Julia was that person and now Julia is not here anymore. So Gavin's looking a little alone and he's looking threatening, which makes me nervous for him. However, he's not a particularly like jarring personality. He actually seems like really great and pleasant to be around. So I think he can easily just kind of hide back and say, oh, you know, I'll vote for whoever. I don't really care right now. I think he could also do that.
Yeah. Gavin,
but he won't.
I know. Yeah, he won't. Yeah, that's some wishful thinking. I realized I have him at number six and was only saying bad things. But so with that, I shouldn't put him at 10.
The thing with Gavin, too, is like, in an 18-person season, he made a move on his closest ally at 12. That is way too early. That's just way too early. And, like, you have a whole game left to play, and you have so many other people to get rid of. I think that the Eric vote needed to happen at 10, something like somewhere around there. Like you could have gotten rid of War Dog and David back-to-back, or David and Rick or something. And you get rid of those people, and then you get rid of Eric at 10 because you still will have the ability to make it happen because you're going to have – the remnants of Les who left that are going to want to make the move. But War Dog, he had them drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know what he did, but they all drank the Kool-Aid.
Well, he was playing good survivor.
That's what he was
doing. I think Gavin, you know, like I said earlier, I think when he made that comment about, I don't want to be dictated to, you know, but he wanted to do the dictating.
Exactly.
So you can't have it, you know, kind of both ways. So I think that's going to get him in trouble. But
someone tweeted something funny. They were like, actually, this is the opposite of a dictatorship. Everybody voted except for you. Yeah.
So our next person I have is David as safe.
All right. You have the floor. Let's talk about David.
Well, David's smart. And David's MO is, I'll work with you for one vote. And all he has to do is keep doing that vote to vote to vote. Mm-hmm. So if he can keep convincing people why, here's what David's good at. He's good at convincing you why you voting with him is good for you, but really it's good for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So all he has to do is keep talking to these people and keep getting them to think it's in their best interest to do what he actually wants. And he's very convincing. And he will, you know, I had several conversations with him. I'll vote with you this time and not next time. And he does it. So, you know, I think he's okay.
Yeah, I'm very happy because like when we were going through like who the survivors we were having come on for this season, it was like, all right, we want to ask Sunday, but when is it going to be too late and when's David going to be out? I'm so happy David's still in the game. Seriously, because like I was worried coming into the season, David was going to be one of the first people voted out. Like, why would you keep David in the game? You know he's a huge threat. You know he can wing. You know he's got strategy. Yeah. Like, as I'm watching him play, he's not doing anything all that different from Millennials or Gen X at all. And it's working the exact same way. It reminds me of Sandra when she played in Heroes versus Villains. She played the exact same game and got to the exact same place and won. Now, Dave didn't win in the first season, but like the game he's playing right now, every time he looks like he's the biggest threat, he somehow convinces everybody there's a bigger threat there and it's not him. And when I personally think, other than Wentworth and Lauren, because they have idols, David should always be the biggest threat.
Yeah,
out there.
Of course he should be. But he's doing what Adam did so well in our season, was to always divert and make Adam's mantra, David's the biggest threat. He was working with him, but at the same time took every opportunity to point out David's the biggest threat. And David's keeping that target off of himself very well, I think.
Now, do you think that he's in any trouble because he played an idol last week and Rick gave him half the idol and then Rick played it for him? Do you think that he's in any trouble because people see, okay, he's really close with Rick and they had like a secret that nobody knew about? Or do you think that it doesn't really do anything to him?
I don't think that matters because people have secrets all the time. And if when you're playing the game, you know full well, you would keep the same secret if you had it. And that's not in your best interest. I mean, you know, we see what happens, the people that tell everybody about what they have. So I don't think people hold that against you.
I think the idol is looking a lot more like Rick's move because Rick is the one who like physically did it. And you see War Dog lean over and he's like, Rick Devens. Like, it looks like Rick just gave David this thing to hold, which is actually exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't look like David's deal. But later, if he needs it, he'll take credit for it. But right now, he doesn't want credit for it. So,
yeah, he's one of those. If he sits at the final three, I feel like he takes everybody else's resume and somehow turns it into his own resume, because up until then, he hasn't taken credit for anything because he just wants to get to the final three and look like, I didn't do anything. Yeah. I didn't do anything.
The
writer, he can do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he's definitely constructing his own winner's storyline as he's playing the game. And we're seeing pieces of it. I'm not convinced David wins, but we're definitely seeing pieces of what he's trying to put down.
And don't tell me he thought of that shark and minnow thing just the other day.
No, that was good. Don't tell me that actually happened.
He was waiting for that to pull that puppy out of the truck.
Jeff was like, did that actually happen? And he was like, yeah, of course, duh. While I was pooping, distract him with the poop joke.
Yeah,
because it didn't happen. And then Rick doubles down on it.
David was pooping. That part actually happened.
That's the only part of the entire thing.
I mean, it could be days. It could be weeks at a time, but let's keep going.
Let's move on.
All right. At seven, I actually have Ron. And so Ron, who was all calm and strong and everything like that, I feel like Ron and Julie are the only two that are somewhat trustworthy to the Lessus right now out of those five. Victoria did it to save herself. Gavin did it to save himself. Aurora didn't do it. So I feel like Ron and Julie, Ron, I don't think is going to try to get the comma group back. And I think him and Julie like proved like, hey, look, we are not kidding. We are done with them. We will work with you. What do you need us to do? And because of that, I think it helps him buy a little bit of time, unless Gavin or Aurora win immunity. But after the first vote this week, the second vote could be one of the Lessus eating their own, just because like now you're starting to feel it and you still have the two idols and you might take a little bit of a chance while you still have these other people there. But I think that Ron is kind of he's clawless right now. He doesn't have anything that he can really do to screw over your game. And I think that that's why they're going to end up keeping him around here, because he's no longer a threat. He went from the biggest threat 2 weeks ago of like winning from comma to now like having nothing, but still being in the game.
We'll see.
I'll kind of piggyback off of that. I have Julie at number seven for pretty similar reasons. And when what did you just say? D. Claude, Phil, you just said he lost his something.
Claude.
But yeah, less is class. Our favorite word last year was defanged. Someone said Angelina was defanged, and we were like, this is exactly. And Julie and Ron have no fangs, no claws. They are like indoor cats, and no one is afraid of them right now because they're desperate. And Julie, I think one of you guys earlier brought up a really good point that Julie's like not, she's not annoying. Like even Jeff was like, Julie, no one blames you. Like this, your meltdown is an extremely normal thing to be happening. So I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, well, Julie's psycho. We need to get rid of her. Julie is clearly just in need of someone to like love her. And David could be that person. David needs a number. Like War Dog needs a number. So they could just use Julie because she doesn't care anymore. And she's also like, she won an immunity. Did she win immunity? Did I make that up?
First one.
I would not be surprised if she wins more immunities because she's pretty darn strong. And she's like probably good at those balance type challenges. I really think Julie's fine. Ron, I'm a little more nervous for, but I think Julie's in a pretty decent spot. I actually should have put her at six.
I actually didn't think of this until this second. But a good pitch from Rick and David, because Rick was really close with Julie, is Ron and Julie come with us. The seven of us vote out Victoria, Gavin, Aurora, back to back to back. And now we're the four to take out Lauren, Wentworth, War Dog. I think that's a really good pitch because, and Julie would buy it because she feels really close with Rick. And I think Ron would jump in on that because, hey, I went from nothing to now I'm in the majority of the majority. And I think that that's an alliance that could actually, that Wentworth, Lauren, and War Dog might not even see coming to have the four of them. But you get through these next couple of votes and then you work together to get out three of the biggest threats in the game. I don't know if that'll happen, but just while Alexa was speaking, it just made me think of that because Julie is close with Rick. And if that's the case, she would side with the Rick David side of things, not the Wentworth Lauren War Dog side of things.
Yeah. I just don't see them spending a lot of time and effort to get rid of Aurora at this point. So
yeah,
I put Kelly in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what's going to happen is when people finally realize, you know, okay, these three are dangerous together, the quickest way to undo someone is take out their sidekick. Mm-hmm. And I see that becoming Lauren. And I'm not calling Lauren's played awesome on her own two legs, but in the mix of the three, I think she could be viewed as Kelly's, right-hand person, whatever you want to call it. And sometimes the quickest way to take power out of a power player is to take rid of, you know, break up their group and take away their closest ally. Mm-hmm. So I see them going after Lauren before they go after Kelly. I see the two of them deciding together to not play their idols. And for some reason, I see Kelly apologizing to Lauren as her torch is snapped and she's walking away.
They haven't played their idols so far. It doesn't even look like they're thinking about it.
And I agree.
I think it might bite them.
Yeah, if one of them is going to get voted out with the idol in their pocket, I think it's Lauren. Although I said Aubrey wouldn't get voted out with an idol in her pocket. Look what happened.
Yeah.
But I do think that Wentworth would know it's her because she's got such a big target on her back that if she starts hearing Lauren's name or if somebody else is saying Lauren, 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 Lauren's somebody who can blindside with the idol. Wentworth's really not. So I agree with that. At eight, I have Dave. I was going to put him way higher, and then I just can't put David way higher, like ever, because
I have him at eight also.
There's always a possibility, right? Like there's always got to be a chance that David could go home. But when I look at this, I mean, I was ready to have my bottom five be all commas because I just feel like they're splintered. And that means like they should go home this week. But then I started thinking like, well, Dave is still Dave and War Dog and Dave clearly aren't getting along on the island. And then you have Wentworth and Lauren who they worked with Dave last week, but would they work with Dave moving forward in the future? So if there's anybody from the Lesu group that goes home this week, I think it's Dave, but is Dave going to go in a double boot episode like that? I don't think so.
That's a really good point. You would think he'd get his own swan song.
Yeah.
I think you guys are underestimating him.
Absolutely. We totally
I do. And here's the thing. Both David and War Dog are playing unemotional games, and they will make the right moves, even if it's with a different alliance member, if it's the right move for themselves, regardless of what else is going on. So I think they're both good at taking the emotion out. If they see it's good for both of them to work together, they'll do it. And the next time, if not, they won't. And it won't be any big deal. So I had Kelly, then Lauren, and then I have my last two. I don't know what number we're on, but.
Yeah, that was eight. So that's, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll end my power rankings then. At number nine, I have Gavin. And then at number 10, to bookend Sunday's power rankings, I have Aurora. So my reasonings for these, I kind of talked about Gavin. I fear that he might have made himself into a target. I think that there's a lot of people who can go home this week, especially in double boot. But I just fear that somebody like Gavin is somebody who can win the game. And now it looked like him and Julia were working really closely together. Well, Julia's gone. Now it's him and Aurora. And Aurora isn't really close with anybody left in the game. So he's put a target on his back. And then Aurora, not that I think they're going to put much energy into voting out Aurora. I just could see, because we're still at 10 people, and I feel like we've been watching Survivor for so many weeks right now, and we're still at 10 people. I feel like this is still so many people left.
Yeah.
But because there's 10 people left, it's still early enough that you could say, hey, like, nobody, Aurora didn't vote with the entire group last week. She's not close with anybody. Like, let's get rid of her. And then you're actually eliminating a number for the for the other side, possibly. Because if you don't know that Aurora is ever going to vote with you, it goes back to the predictable, unpredictable thing.
Yeah.
If you don't know that Aurora is definitely going to vote with you every time, you might want to get rid of her to ensure that she doesn't vote with them one or two times. So I just fear that her game is just kind of like wandering, and she could just be like the Michelle from your season, where it's just like, let's just do it. Like, let's just get rid of her. Like, we kind of need to make that happen this week, because she might not be the most threatening, but at least somebody's gone now. Like, we can get them out of the game.
Yeah. But Michelle had to go because we had to break up the Millennial Four.
Mm-hmm.
Aurora isn't, you're not breaking up any alliance by taking out Aurora.
I guess Taylor would have been the better one for that. Cause it's like, Taylor wasn't really in with anybody by the time you all voted Taylor out, right?
Well, him and Jay were tight. Mm-hmm. Him and Jay and Will, you know, and then there was still Will they could have pulled in there. So that was a fracture on purpose. So, you know, Aurora doesn't have any, it doesn't appear a group that needs to be fractured. And I don't think all of them left in the game can get together enough to pick one person. I think they're too fractured for that. Of them come together and say, oh, let's go Aurora. Why? There's just, I don't see, that doesn't advance anyone's game that I can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I have a different take. I put Ron down here. I could give or take my one or two, so I'll interchange them. But the reason I have Ron down here is I feel like Ron's, okay, so there's the emotion of being blindsided, and then I'll just do whatever you say, right? It's kind of like the phases of death. Like, at first you're so sad, but what happens after you're sad? You're mad and you're angry. So when you have a person that's pushed into the corner like he was, I feel like he's going to over aggressively try and make a move that's going to get him voted out. I feel like he's going to feel like a tiger that's going back and forth in a cage. And he's going to feel like he has to do something to prove that he's still on top. And I think whatever it is that he tries to do will bite him and send him home.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's going to overplay because he feels like he got played, which he did.
Mm-hmm. So, and then do you have Rick at 10? Is that so you're putting Rick down at the bottom?
I am.
Wow.
As much as I hate to say that, but I think he's going to be viewed as the person that orchestrated that tribal. And I think that's going to put a big target on his back. And I don't think the loyalty with David is going to stick. Mm-hmm. Now that they, because David saw Rick is not voting with me. Rick is not listening to me. Rick, you know, it's like, basically, I feel like David had to stick with him long enough to use that idol. And now if it's not in his best interest, I don't think he'll stick with them. I mean, it could be for maybe a voter or two, but I just see Rick or Ron, maybe one of the two. I don't know.
Yeah.
In those last spots. But
I don't know. I think it's totally reasonable too. Like, why, you know, like Rick, the problem is like, right now, the only thing we know for sure is Lauren Wentworth War Dog. That's really the only thing that we know for showing into the tent.
Yeah.
So for me, I sit here and as I watch this, I'm like, Rick could easily go home. David go, even Victoria could go home, who I had all the way up number four, because I don't think she will, but she could. Yeah. The only three that we know that are working together and have since day one are Lauren, Wentworth, and War Dog. So after that, there could be another blindside this season. And that's why, like, despite the fact that Edge of Extinction might have overstayed its welcome, the what's happening on the show has been really entertaining with Julia going home last week. That was kind of a blindside.
Yeah.
Eric going home was a blindside. The Aubrey boot was definitely a blindside. So there's a lot of really good editing going on in game that is leading us to believe these people are safe and then they go home. And Edge of Extinction, I think they're just trying to figure it out because they have so many people running around an island and they're trying to create a story over there that doesn't really exist.
Totally.
So
I agree.
Alexa, why don't you take us home with your 9 and 10?
So I originally had Aurora at 8, and then Sunday you convinced me to move her all the way up to 5, and then I netted out with her being at number 9. So Aurora actually is down after all this. I think Aurora is going to be fine. I think what I'm nervous about for her and what I've always been a little nervous about is I think they want to use her. Anyone will want to use her as a number. I think she is kind of at the point where she's like, that is how I will continue to go. Mm-hmm. I feel like the comma people don't like her. I feel like it's not even that they feel apathetic about her. I think there is a dislike there that we are not seeing because her opinion is just not ever taken into consideration. And so that makes me nervous for her because I feel like that they'll probably think that she'll move over to the Lessos, which if I were her, I wouldn't blame her for doing that. So that makes me pretty nervous. And you guys bring up a good point. Like, is David going to go home in a double boot? Like, doesn't make sense. Aurora, that would make a little more sense. And then I have Ron at 10, and I know that seems way too easy, but he was the top dog and then he was down, but Julie, I think, is okay being down for a little bit. Like you said, Sunday, Ron is not going to be fine being down right now. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to try to get back up, and no one's going to have any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are my power rankings.
Well, I won't lie, Alexa and Sunday. The reason I put Ron at number 7 is mainly because in the Eliminator game, I only have Wentworth, Lauren, and Ron left to pick from. And picking Wentworth or Lauren is pretty much admitting that I'm going to lose. And Alexa's got an upper hand on me here. So I need to pick Ron this week.
God, I have the weakest of all upper hands.
I need to pick Ron this week and for big moves. So I'm picking Ron and I'm just doubling down and convincing myself that he's not going home. I'm putting him at 7 in the power rankings. And my fantasy team is still intact. We each picked 5 people before the season. All 5 of my people are still in the game. And I really want to get through this double boot and have 5 of the final 8. That would be just huge. Fantastic. So,
yeah.
Go, Ron. Let's go, Ron.
So is Ron your eliminator? Is that official?
Ron is my eliminator, official. Book it.
I wrote this down before. Who's the eliminator again? The person that you're saying is definitely not going home, right? We only have 3 choices.
Right. And okay. As of now, we only have, So who do I have? I can pick Ron, Lauren, or... who am I missing here? David, Rick.
You can pick Ron. You can pick Lauren. You can pick Julie. And you can pick Gavin.
Oh.
So you have 4 that you can pick.
Ron.
Everybody else only
Lauren,
has 3.
Julie, Gavin. I will pick Julie. I'm taking Julie.
Okay, good. I typed it first. Sunday. Sunday only has War Dog, Rick, or Julie to pick from. She just put Julie at number 10. Or I'm sorry, put Rick at number 10. Rick.
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry.
For not going home, I'm going to pick War Dog.
Okay.
I think it's a good choice.
He's not going anywhere.
We are down to, this has been a crazy season of this because normally like some of the people that we pick go home. So we have more to pick from at the end. And I've had one person that I've picked actually go home. Vaughn's had one person he picked go home. This Team Survivor has not had anybody they picked go home yet. And then Alexis had only 2 people, and she's like in the lead with like this insurmountable you know, insurmountable lead. So yeah, this is a weird one.
This is so weird.
So we can't go home though without talking about what premieres on Wednesday, which is the Amazing Race. Yeah, which is right after Survivor.
It's not a triple boot of Survivor.
it could be if one of the Survivor teams goes home. But so this year for anybody who hasn't been paying attention to that, Corinne and Eliza, Rupert and Laura, and then these two other guys who we don't really remember the name of, they're going to be Chris and Brett are going to be on the Amazing Race, which starts right after Survivor. So Alexa and I, we're going to do. Well, maybe Alexa and I, maybe somebody else might be coming in. But we're going to be doing recaps much later in the week, probably like Sundays or Mondays, depending on what works out for us during the week. Just talking about the Amazing Race.
I need to be on some of those.
Come on in.
Hey, you can join in. I have a lot
to say. Yeah.
Yeah. This is so much different because it's not Survivor. So it's just like how fast are Brett and Chris and how good are they deciphering clues and not getting U-turned.
It's a show that – we were talking about this. I have never watched a full episode of Phil. I'm not sure how much you've watched. I've watched a couple of seasons. So you have more insight than I do. Like, we're going to be analyzing this and not really know what we're talking about. So it's going to be super fun.
I know who Rachel is, and then I know who the Afghanimals are. And then other than that, I don't know who any of the Amazing Race people are. And I don't know who the Big Brother people are because I haven't watched any Big Brother.
What was that word that you just said? The
Afghanimals.
What is that?
That's what they call themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, two guys. Are they? They're Afghani. They're not brothers.
I think they're Afghani brothers. Yeah, I think they
are.
Okay,
they are brothers. Okay.
Yeah. And so they call themselves the Afghanimals, and they're pretty good.
I'm going to do zero research. I want to go in so blind on this.
If I had to pick a winner, I'd pick them. But then, Alexa, like when we were discussing, I don't want to give away the name in case they don't ever come on the podcast, but when we were discussing with the other person, they also have not watched a single episode of The Amazing Race. So like Brett and Chris being on the season really is pulling people out of the woodwork. I know. I'm excited. So Sunday, I want to get your take, and then I have a prediction for Chris and Brett, but what's your take on these two guys running around the world?
Well, there's just one problem with the Chris and Brett team. Mm-hmm. That is that it should have been a three-piece person team.
They need him. No, they didn't.
I think they're going to do well. Here's the thing. No matter what happens, I think they'll do well because they'll work together well. They know each other very well. But it's going to be some of the best TV that you've ever seen. I would guarantee you that right now. They're just hilarious. They're so fun to be around, and they just rag on each other nonstop. And they don't fight. Like, they don't get sick of each other. So that's a huge part of the Amazing Race, is the ability to work together is really the key. There's some strategy, but really it's about not like murdering your partner that you're running with.
Hopefully they don't do that.
I mean, think about the skills that Brett brings. He's a cop, right? Mm-hmm. Super observant, used to getting around anywhere and everywhere, following maps, all that kind of stuff, figuring stuff out. Chris is so smart. You know, he's a lawyer. He could talk himself out of anything and anyone, talk anybody into doing anything just by his, you know, well, because he's a giant. And I feel like I'm running the race. I just can't even wait to watch it. It's going to be fun to watch.
I think what's funny about the two of them is they were good TV on Survivor. Like, they were good. Mm-hmm. They had their moments. But they are a great TV for the Amazing Race. And I know, Alexa, you haven't watched the Amazing Race, but they are, this is exactly what you want for the Amazing Race. Two really loud personalities that'll bicker, but never like really fight. Like, you want it to be like fun. They're going to be the fun tribe. Like, Eliza and Corinne, I wonder like how long in before they just start like
screaming. Someone might get murdered. Yeah, that one is going to be violent.
But Brett and Chris, I feel like you're going to have that positivity the entire time. But like you said, they love ragging on each other. And that's what you need.
Yeah, they're just, you guys are just, everyone is in for a fun ride, that is for sure. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been able to be a fly on the wall of the room with those two. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah, Phil, you're right, because they, like, there's almost no one who can overshadow them now. It's not like Adam and David going at each other. Like, when it's their scenes, it's only their scenes.
And, yeah. and the Amazing Race doesn't have to build up like a winner edit for somebody like Survivor does. Like, no. You don't have to fall in love with the people who win the Amazing Race, because the Amazing Race is really, the characters are always fun and that's what gets you through it. But it's really about like the places they go and the things they're doing more than like Survivor, where you want to know if like Adam wins, we want to know why Adam beat Kenneth. We know. Why did, you know, if the Afghanimals win, why did they win? Because they got to the
Amazing Race. You can be out of the race because you got a bad taxi driver. I mean, there's so much more luck. And there's luck in Survivor, but so much more in the Amazing Race. You could get screwed by anything. Someone giving you bad directions, missing one flight, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
One of the main reasons I stopped watching the Amazing Race. So I watched the beginning and then I didn't watch for a while. And I started picking it up again when I was in college. And Andy and Tommy, who were the surfer or the snowboarders, they were dominating every leg. They were like, they were winning every single leg. And what happened was they were way in the lead going into the last leg. They were in, it was the final four. And they were way in the lead. And everybody else got into a taxi and nobody knew where they were going. And one taxi driver just led all three teams to the final or to the finish line. And Andy and Tommy's driver took them a different way. And so they finished fourth and the other three people did nothing to earn their spot in the final three, except for have one taxi driver knew where they were going and everybody else just followed. And it was so boring. And I was like, this isn't fun. This is stupid.
No, I cannot wait to watch. I'm excited. Well, you know, I love Chris and Brett. They're my favorites. But you guys are, I'm telling you, for people that haven't been around them, you are just, you're going to love it.
Yeah. And my prediction, just a little preseason prediction here.
Sure.
Rupert and Laura, although they are like in all of the previews right now because everybody knows Rupert, they are definitely the first Survivor team out. And Brett and Chris will be the best of the Survivor teams. I don't know if they'll be able to beat a lot of the Amazing Race teams, because I think there is such an advantage to having played the Amazing Race before.
I agree.
But they will I think they beat Eliza and Corinne. I think they definitely beat Laura and Rupert, because Laura and Rupert, I feel like, are – Rupert's going to – CBS wants Rupert back on TV. But, you know, I think that they're – it's because it's Rupert. So I'm curious. I'm curious still how it's going to go. But Chris and Brett, I think, are going to have the best go out of the Survivor pairings for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to say that for sure, because I got to root for them. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do well. I think they're going to probably – surprise a few people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So there you go. We'll be, like we said, we'll be doing a recap for that at some point.
Yeah.
Like,
I've been expecting a phone call on this. So at some point, can I just say something before we go about Julie? Mm-hmm. I just want to give her a shout out because she expressed the buildup of emotion and feeling that is on Survivor that I don't think that the fans get to see. And even in the moment when she's experiencing it, what you're telling yourself when you're out there the whole time is like, keep your emotions in check. Don't let them see you cry. Be strong. Be tough. And although you're with people 24/7, you do literally feel 100% alone. And I loved that she let it out and that people got to see a glimpse of the emotional and mental toll this game takes on you. The living part is hard, but you got the mental and emotional part is so much harder than people realize. And I loved that they let us see that and that she didn't care. She was like, this is how I'm feeling and I'm letting it out. And I think, I just really loved that she did that and that they showed it on top of it.
I'm really glad you said that, because I remember when she first kind of started freaking out when they were at the well, she, even as she's freaking out, she's even saying like, I don't mean to make this about me. This is just happening and I can't even stop it. Like, it looked like something that, and obviously like filler, I can't even attempt to understand it, but it just seemed, it was really fascinating to watch her go through this so emotionally and personally, but still being in the middle of the game. That was, and it's really hard to show that. I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, it's what every person wants to say, but you feel like you can't because you're so nervous, you know, you'll get voted out for it. But it was a really good glimpse into what's going on inside every Survivor's head.
Mm-hmm. Yep. God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's really terrifying. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Sorry, Alexa. I don't know, like, what you, if you want to like say What else do we have?
I think Julie does. I don't know if she listens to us. We just like tweet at her a lot. So either she actually listens to us or just like pretends to and is really nice about it. So, well, hopefully she hears that, because I think she posted something on Instagram and she said something kind of similar. She was like, you know, I'm really glad that CBS showed this, and I've received a lot of love and I've received a lot of hate, but I'm glad that however people feel about it, I'm just glad that it was shown.
Who sends hate their way for that? I mean, what is
people
wrong with
on the internet are horrible.
Reddit.
Well, I know, but let's just like, you know, I tried to make this hashtag Survivor Nice. Let's just give me a break.
Yeah.
Those people suck.
Those people are probably complaining with like a cheeseburger in their belly. And
yeah,
none of
they wouldn't make it one day. Yeah, they wouldn't make it one day. So yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And I'm still rooting for David, of course. Mm-hmm. Team David all the way.
Hashtag Team David, hashtag Survivor Nice.
Yeah. Did we talk about, you guys say who you have in the finals?
Didn't ask you who was going to win.
Oh, yeah. Who do you think is going to win Sunday? Other than David, obviously. Oh, unless it's only David.
Well, I'll tell you my final three who I think.
Okay.
This is breaking news. Ooh. Not really. I wrote it down ahead of time. Okay. I have in the final three, David, Wardog, and Aurora.
Wow. I have, could definitely happen.
I have Aurora. I'm sorry. I love sweet. I like her, but I have her at 0 votes. And then I have it coming down to David and Wardog. And I have Wardog taking it possibly over David.
Wow.
I'm Team David.
Wardog definitely listens to this podcast, and David might. So, you are causing a stir.
This is only why I feel like if they all three got there, and if David got to the end, yes, it's a huge feat. But on the other hand, I feel like the other players, the new players, aren't going to as handily want to give the win to a returning player if they can see one of their own, so to speak, got to the end with that returning player sitting next to them. I think that's a big feat.
And I think what would be hard for David in that final three is that the people on the jury, that would mean Wentworth and Lauren are both there, who would both vote Wardog. That would mean the people that Wardog convinced to vote out Eric are there, Gavin, Julia, Victoria. And because of that, he could probably get all of those. And he's already got 6 votes. And what does he need? One more to make it 7-6. So like, I do think that – I think if Wardog gets to the end, Wardog – probably beats anybody, but is Wardog going to get to the end? And how crazy is it that we're saying if Wardog gets to the end, he beats anybody? Like there could be a survivor
a man named Wardog.
I mean, Rick could be there. I love Rick. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think David could get there. He's definitely smart enough. He definitely knows what he's doing. I'm just saying, not because I think Wardog would be a better player. I'm just saying because I think that a majority of new players would rather hand it to one of their own than a returning player in that spot.
Yeah.
And this is a group of new players that is very, not super anti-returning, because obviously David and Kelly are doing pretty well for themselves, but that comma group, I can't imagine anyone in comma is going to vote for vote for someone. And right now comma is pretty much the entire jury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sunday asked about ours, Alexa. We have to give ours too.
Okay. I haven't thought about this until right now, but here we go. I think Eric not only comes back from Extinction Island, but I think Eric makes it to the final three.
That's a bold prediction. That's a hot take. Alexa, spicy why take are you not screaming day. Hot take?
I have a bag of flaming hot Cheetos next to me. That is my spicy take.
Coming from the queen.
Coming from... nowhere, Eric is going to be in the final three. With that, the rest of these are very, very cold takes. I think Lauren is going to get to the end, and I think I want to say Victoria, but I know that's like such a cop out because.
Oh my God. I'm going to cop out all over the place.
No, well, I feel like it's a cop out for me because I know like Victoria. I don't want to take Victoria away from you. But with that, I think it's Victoria, Lauren, and Eric, and I think. Victoria or Lauren wins. I don't think someone from Extinction Island wins. I don't think that happens.
Yeah. I can see Victoria there. She's a smart one.
She's really smart, and she doesn't appear like she's doing much. Like, she's doing the David thing, except she actually will have like multiple moves that are very clearly hers.
All right.
Yeah.
I have my prediction. So I'm gonna run through the entire final six now. Okay. Ooh. Here we go. Ooh,
final six.
So here's what we got. Our final six is Lauren, Wentworth, War Dog, Victoria, Rick Devins, and Eric. Everybody uses Eric to vote out War Dog at six, and War Dog goes home at six.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he froze.
There he is. Do it again. We lost you.
Yeah. Oh, did okay.
We have no idea what you just said.
Okay, good. Rick Devins goes home at five.
Okay.
Because he's too much of a threat, and Eric wins immunity. Eric goes to a fire making challenge against Kelly Wentworth, and Kelly Wentworth beats the firefighter at making fire. Ooh, and then our final three. Yeah, exactly. And then our final three is Victoria, Wentworth, and Lauren. And despite the fact that Victoria might have taken a hit the last 2 weeks, I think Victoria wins. And then I think Lauren probably gets more votes than Wentworth because of what Sunday said, where the newbies aren't going to want to vote for newbies or aren't going to want to vote for returnees. But I do think that like Joe, David, and Aubrey might all vote for Wentworth out of like a respect thing for you made it there and we didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I could see that being close, but I think Victoria takes it home in a really close final three. Like, I don't think that's a blowout. I don't think that that's a, I don't even think there's a person who gets zero votes in that situation. I think we get like a, I don't even know how many people are on this jury, but it could be like a 4-3-3 or like a 5-3-3 or something like that.
Is it going to be 13 person jury?
It's so many. I can't count that.
That would be the largest. Yeah. That would be the largest jury ever, right? What's the big? Yeah. Like, is 11 the norm recently?
The biggest one was the Ghost Island one because Laurel technically counted, so it was 12.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, Laurel made it 12.
Has there been all female final three? What am I forgetting?
I don't think
there has been.
So here's your first all-female final three, and it's going into the finale. It's going to be 3-3. It's going to be 3 males, 3 females, and the females are just going to pick the males off.
I'm really excited for the firefighter to lose at making fire. I'm really into that storyline.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
I think
it's great. You're totally wrong, but I think it's great.
Well, you couldn't be more wrong.
Sunday, here's something that I was thinking about, though, and I was thinking about this the other night as we were watching this. Last season in David vs. Goliath, after Alec went home, you kind of felt like, all right, Nick's taken over, right? Like Carl wasn't getting a huge edit. Gabby and Christian felt like they're almost too likable to win. Davey could have pulled it off, but he was early on, didn't get much. Allison really didn't get anything. Angelina was getting the villain edit. We had Mike White, and then Kara was here and there. So it kind of felt like it was going to be Nick. On this season, I cannot get a grasp on who it's going to be. And that's why, like, I've been saying Victoria, Lauren, and Wentworth for a while, but like all three of them could be the next three people voted out. And I would not be shocked in any way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, it's been it's totally hard to read.
You know, yeah. I like your final three more because it has War Dog versus David, and I want to see that.
I want to watch that.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I hope David doesn't get mad at me, but he won't because he loves me.
You're getting a call right now. It's David.
Like, oh, God. Right.
No.
How dare you say,
say I love you. That's what he's going to call me.
All right. Well, Alexa, I guess before you take us home, Sunday, do you have anything
spicy takes?
Anything last here that you want to say? I mean, that's a spicy take. War Dog versus David and Aurora getting zero votes. That's as spicy as it gets. But.
And that's not to be mean to anybody. Let me just clarify that. I don't know. No, not really. I mean, what did we talk about earlier? I was saying how I was pairing up people in my season to the people left in this season. And I see some similarities. I see Will and Gavin a lot alike. Mm-hmm. I see David as David.
that makes sense.
Let me think. I had some other ones. I see Ken and Aurora kind of similar, kind of like quieter. She seems like once she has her people, she would be loyal to them, but she just hasn't found the right people yet. Mm-hmm. I see Ron and Zeke kind of similar. Did you guys know that Ron is like a big time like educator? Like he trains.
Big deal.
I did not know this. And I have teachers in my family that came to me and were like, do you know that's the same Ron? Mm-hmm. I was like, his school is awesome. Yeah. let's see, who else was I thinking? I see what actually you see a lot of similarities with Gavin, also with Adam, mm-hmm. in the going back and forth between alliances kind of a thing. So I don't see anyone on my season like that I could say is a war dog type. Maybe Jay in the sense that he's a little bit of a loner sometimes, mm-hmm. but he's got his people. And yeah.
Okay. What about Brett?
And Chris, who's the, we actually, we don't even have
a, I feel like I know who the Brett is, and that's why I'm leading this.
Oh, Brett is Rick.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's exactly, that's exactly where I was going with
that. And Rick, but didn't make emotional decisions. He's mm-hmm. Rick because he's so just awesome. Like mm-hmm. he's so fun to be around, and he is genuine. So, I just love him. But, Chris is not still in the game.
Yeah.
Chris got voted out.
And he wasn't at this point anyway. So
Chris was the third person voted out.
I can't compare him to anybody on this list, really, because he's so special in his own right. I can't compare him to somebody else.
He'll love to hear that. And Brett will be mad that he got replaced.
Well, we can't.
No, he didn't get replaced.
No, you would never replace him with Rick Devon.
Never.
But we're supposed to be the specialists here. There's been two female final threes. Sam Wandel, sir.
Wait, don't say the other one.
Just wait.
I'm not going to know.
Sam Wandel.
Yeah, Jacqueline.
Missy and Natalie.
And Missy. And the other one was
the best season of all time.
I have to say something. I'm so glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. There is an event in Dallas, Survivor watch party this coming Wednesday night that Missy Payne is putting on. And she's raising money for, it's called Cheer for Your Life. And what they do is they raise funds to help teenagers fulfill their dreams. So say it's an athlete, they help raise funds for them to get their training or their equipment. If it's a singer, they help, you know, to get voices and studio time. It's really amazing. And so if you're in the Dallas area, you want to go to this watch party. I am hoping to be there. Joe England will be there and some other celebs. So look that up if you're in Dallas. Look up Missy Payne. I hope to be there, and you should go.
There you go. There you go. So that everybody really in Dallas, fun. You better. The watch parties are the most fun part of Survivor. So anybody who hasn't gone to one, I got to go to one last Wednesday, and it was amazing. Make sure you go to these things. Mm-hmm. The other one, now I can't, how can you follow up what Sunday just said with the other female final three?
Sorry.
How can I?
We love female final threes. Yeah, but we don't happen very often.
So we have the San Juan del Sur one, and apparently
what is wrong with us? They're a brain fart. Who is it?
Because everybody's blocked this season out of their memory for good reason. It's One World. Yeah. With Kim, Chelsea, and Sabrina.
Yeah, but Kim is so awesome.
Yeah.
I remember when I watched One World, I loved Sabrina. I was really about her.
They're all awesome. I like Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea was cool too.
It's nothing against the final three. It's more than it's from that season. Yeah.
Actually, out of that group, that's probably like the final three.
Remember, was
the most satisfying out of the.
That was the only finale that was all female, because it was Christina. It was Christina, Chelsea, Sabrina, Alicia, and Kim.
Oh God, so many names ending with an A.
I know. All female. Alicia,
yeah.
Yeah.
All female finale. And Tarzan was the last male standing. So, like,
as we all predicted.
Oh, One World.
One World. Anyways.
Anyways.
So that's like.
Any final things? I feel like I can't
Team
even
David.
Wrap it up. Like, Team David. Hashtag Team David. Yeah. Which I guess we can say that because we're allowed to be biased or not. I don't know.
I love all of them. I do. But, you know. David and I did sleep next to each other by the fire every night. So.
Well, for anybody or for everybody who just listened, this was like the appetizer because Game of Thrones is on in 6.5 hours. So I just want to throw it out there. Like now,
but definitely listen to this and make sure to tell all of your friends to listen to this.
Yes.
Also watch Game of Thrones in 6.5 hours.
I can't say that we're as good as Game of Thrones Sunday. No offense. It's not.
Yeah. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
I've never seen one episode.
Wow. You need to. Okay. So whatever restaurant in your town that you can never get into. Tonight is the night to go to
it. It's the night to go. Okay.
Everyone will be sitting on the couch.
Yeah. Actually, I saw a part of one episode while I was getting my tattoo. It was on in the tattoo shop. That's the only thing I've ever seen.
That actually probably must have been, I don't know what was going on in the episode, but Game of Thrones is usually very like unpleasant to watch. So I'm sure while getting a tattoo, that wasn't
very Yeah. It's pretty intense, but
why are these people stabbing each other?
Well, next week we won't be live on Easter Sunday. We'll be live on the Monday, right, Alexa?
We will. Oh, Easter Sunday and Game of Thrones. What a day. Yeah.
And but that Monday we will be live with somebody who has definitely watched a lot of episodes of Game of Thrones.
Someone who's very passionate.
Yes. And they've been very vocal.
Stay tuned and we'll tell you who it is.
Yeah, we'll tell you about it after the second episode. So we'll get to while Sunday gives us the amazing race lowdown, it's gonna be Davey. Davey's gonna give us the lowdown on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So. And actually, I promise I'll wrap it up after this. But Sunday, you said, like, did you guys realize that Ron Clark, like, was such a big educator? We spoke to Davey. We interviewed Davey right before this cast was announced or right after the cast was announced. And he, Davey said in Atlanta, Ron Clark is everywhere. Like, what Ron Clark Academy has done sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Have you looked it up?
And I know there was a movie made about him that I kind of want to see.
I had no clue.
Amazing. It's really amazing.
It's really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny that everyone's like, Ron Clark is such a jerk. And it's like, well, I don't really know about that.
There was a tweet. Because Hannah Shapiro had wrote an article about some of the like injuries some of the players have had. And someone on the thread commented like, Ron Clark, you should never be allowed around children. Your morals are, you know, this is after the Joe vote. And I was like, wow.
Just like send a link to his website.
Yeah, like, newsflash, Survivor's a game. You know, it's just,
And so I think I think he might've tweeted this, but he was like going into the show. He might've either told the board or the kids or whatever, but he was like, you all need to know I am going in and playing a game. Mm-hmm. I very much am separating this as anybody does.
And Ron's been great.
He told him that after he played it, right before it aired though.
Yes.
I love, I like that he gets dressed up for tribal. I like that somebody still takes it.
He puts on his best.
Yeah.
Hey, I attempted to have earrings to wear every week to tribal, and I was channeling my inner Monica Culpepper, but I lost them right away.
Of course. were they
the beads from the
They were just the big hoops, and I was like, I'm going to be Monica Culpepper and look nice at every tribal, and never happened.
Oh, that's okay.
She's a neat lady, though.
She is a neat lady. Great reference.
we're just name dropping One World like crazy, right?
I know. Yeah. What a season. It's like we talked about Thailand like way too much last week.
Yeah, that's what happened to Brian Corden on there.
All right. Any more spice takes, or should I take us home?
Take us home, Alexa.
No more takes today. All right. So thank you, Sunday, for coming on. We'll hopefully have you on for an amazing race podcast so you can officially be the longest tenured guest that we've had.
Please. So,
we would absolutely love to have you. We will be live this coming Wednesday right after the Double Boot episode 9. So make sure to watch us instead of the Amazing Race, but also watch the race. Maybe watch us right after, whatever works. But as Phil mentioned, we will be podcasting about the Amazing Race. We'll probably tie that in with our predictions podcast. We'll figure out the scheduling as it comes. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we are almost at 4,700 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. So keep hitting that subscribe button. Follow us on social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Listen to us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Thank you. And thank you, Sunday. We love having you on every time.
Thanks, guys. I love being here.